Welcome to Matters of Experience, a podcast where we explore the creativity, innovation, and psychology driving designed experiences and encounters. Thank you for tuning in and supporting our conversation today. My name is Abby Honor.
Hello, I'm Brenda Cowan.
So today, it's my pleasure to welcome Shireen Bruckner to the show. She is a founding partner of Atelier Bruckner, which if you are in our business, you should have heard about them. And if you haven't, go check out their work after the show because it is incredible. Mm-hmm. Shireen focuses on new business and management, but is still very much involved in the design process. In 2024, she was honored as an SEGD Fellow, an international recognition for visionary leaders whose work sets the global standard in design excellence. And you're one of the power 10 in the Blue Loop 50 Museum Influencer List 2024, which is an accomplished group of people from our industry. So Shireen, congratulations on all your recent accolades. And I know there's even more that I didn't list, but a huge welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and I'm happy to contribute to this podcast. Thank you.
We're so excited to be talking with you today, Shireen. And just to get us kick-started, can you let us know what is it that attracted you to this industry in the first place? Do you have an origin story to share with our listeners?
Yeah, so basically, this is a question which pops up quite often when people ask me, how did all this happen? Yeah. And I grew up in a very cultural diverse family. So my father is an Iraqi, my mother is German. And in this mix of cultures, this really shaped my worldview and gave me a strong sense of resilience. And from a very early age, I learned how somehow to interact with different perspectives and also to embrace culture in really many different ways and forms. So also in school, I somehow was in both in mathematics, logical thinking, and in creativity. And this is why I chose architecture, and I really felt that is the perfect choice. I'm so happy with not only with studying this, also in doing this, as really this combination of logic and art. This is a very harmonious way of working. And I think the next question is where was this big turning point from architecture to exhibition design? Yeah.
Wait a minute, let us ask the question. Otherwise you don't need us. Oh, no. I love that about you. Yeah, my question was, what is it about experiential design that pulled you a little away from architecture?
It was more of just a coincidence, I would say, you know. And this was the moment when we got in touch with a client who bought the rights to exhibit the objects of which were found on the ground of the Titanic. And he somehow looked for somebody to design this. And this was a chance for me and my husband to work on this very emotional topic, I would say, on this story, which everybody knows from films. And I think this was the first real opportunity to somehow apply this architectural thinking to exhibition design on the one side, but it was also very special that we could focus on an emotional story, somehow to put the visitor in the center of experience. And this was somehow, and to tell stories along of different characters and persons, yeah, and a different perception on one story of very different people. And I think this was the turning point. This was an exhibition in Hamburg in the Speicherstadt. And it was at the same time the film came out, and together with this film, it was a really success story. Also having a different approach in exhibition design, not only from the explanations, but also about talking about emotions and people behind that.
When you got this job, did you handle most of that work? Did you hire for that work? How did you address the needs of a museum exhibition as opposed to an architectural project?
Basically, we were a team of architects, and somehow project popped up and that we didn't have employees or something like that. I was directly after my studies, and my husband also just finished studies in stage design. And somehow with his friends, we just worked on the project, yeah. And everybody brought in his knowledge. And we also with this background of my husband on stage design, we just put the visitor in a different place. He's not looking at a stage. He's part of the stage, I would say, or working on the stage. And this, I think somehow this combination, this was how it happens, I would say. Yeah.
We would love to hear about how it is that Atelier Bruckner transformed or moved from more of a small laboratory for scenography and architecture into what some would say is a powerhouse of design that it is today. Was it sort of a smooth evolution, or were there challenges along the way?
Please tell us our challenges, Serene.
Abby loves all of the challenges. Like, Abby loves the drama.
Smooth sailing.
You love the drama.
I do. I think there are challenges every day. It would be boring if there were not challenges. But I think, how was the transformation? I think this is necessary, that we all somehow move forward and create new things and face challenges. And if you ask for challenges, I cannot remember one, you know, because this is what we've overcome and forget, and we should not keep them in mind. of course, there was a lot of crying and problems, but this is not the center of our thinking. We are looking for the success. We are looking for the solutions. And I would say I'm also a very solution-driven person. I don't stay in the problem. I immediately think in possible solutions, because only this brings us forward, I think. And this is one of my personal strengths with which I could contribute to this, to the success of the company, I would say.
Oh, that's great. And actually, a lot of the leaders or the people who head up companies have that attribute and skill to be able to look straight to how do we solve this and move forward, always moving forward. So I've heard you say form follows content. And you're very dedicated to storytelling. So I'm interested to sort of chat about the idea of storytelling in the work you do and how that's evolved over the last, let's say, 20, 25 years for you, the process.
Yeah, I think when we started, somehow storytelling did exist, but not in exhibition or not in classical museums design. It was more in theater or in films and all that. And we somehow moved from this purely didactic, fact-based display design, yeah, to somehow a more immersive and emotional journey, which we want to convey to our visitors. And it's really the goal somehow that we engage with all senses, somehow connect deeper on a really deeper level with the content. And I think this is also what stays in mind for the visitor. There's also, of course, this question, what are the trends at the moment in this direction of storytelling? And what I really see now, it's a big shift towards participatory experiences. So things like role play games or interactive storytelling or highly customized journeys for special target groups, yeah. And this is something which really attracts people, yeah, and also makes content accessible for everybody, I would say. So even interacting with real guides, with other visitors, with the space itself, the just interaction and exchange with physical people, I think this is something which really touches everybody and which somehow brings stories alive.
Oh, that's really interesting. Can you talk to us a little bit, though, about the senses? Because these experiences really are, to be truly immersive, have to trigger all the senses. Can you talk about a couple of projects where you brought in smell or touch and why you decided to use those?
For example, the Ephesus Experience Museum, it's directly in the ancient historic archaeological site in Ephesus. And here we created a digital journey, a visitor center through the ancient Ephesus in earlier times. So we somehow bring this, the artifact is the historic place, yeah, and we somehow bring this artifact alive and try to explain to the visitor what did happen, what kind of experience was it, would have this been in these times for the people who lived during these times, yeah. And we are in this case combining a visual storytelling, a large-scale media production with a sound and interactive elements, but where the visitors really can see the history, but also they can feel it by stepping it into. And we, in this case, we created a lot of smells who somehow address not only the seeing and the hearing, but also the smelling of the surrounding in these times. And I think this multisensory design, it really enhances the storytelling. It's making it more tangible and emotionally powerful and leaving really long-lasting experiences, yeah.
Well, the sense of smell in particular has this direct link with memory, and I can imagine people going into that experience and being able to be very opened up to this broader experience and this history and the story that you're crafting, and also probably connecting a lot with their own memories and seeing the relevance between this history and even their own lives and how they think.
Can you talk a little bit about, this is a problem we face all the time, so I'm like, great, I've got Shireen, I can ask her exactly what they're doing. What sort of groups you're talking about and how you shepherd them and give them a unique journey that addresses their needs?
I think there are different tasks. And if I talk about target audience-driven experiences, often these are children experiences. For example, in the Grand Egyptian Museum, we have a complete, which is the Tutankhamun Gallery we are designing is a very, very object-driven experience, I would say, only working with a lot of light and highlighting the stories behind the objects. And for children, we have a complete gallery where children can understand the society system in these times, yeah, and understand what it means to be king and farmer, and for example, and understand what was the life in these times, what games did they play, how do they dress. And it's a very physical experience where there's not one real object in there. It's somehow creating, of course, a space, but a space where children can interact with the content and with each other also, yeah. But my favorite exhibition, which we really created, it's a very small project, is the Dialogue with Time exhibition, because this is making visitors understand what it means getting older. And it's an interesting concept because we casted old guides, and these guides somehow lead a group of visitors through their experience. And then visitors together with the guide, complete group sit on a table and they start discussing about ideas of being old, and the guide tells his story, and you are immediately in a situation where you are together with people you never would have known from different social backgrounds, from different whatever experiences, and they come from different directions and cultures and everything. And I think this is something when we talk about media driven exhibitions, which we did before, and more low-tech exhibitions where we try to really physically connect. This is something which is still something I really believe in, and for all target groups.
Has it been hard for you over the years to back away? How much guidance are you giving to the overall creative these days?
I would say this is, everything's limited by time. We have. But also in the energy people have and take the jobs, you know. And I think we are really good in empowering people to somehow bring in their full energy in the projects and take responsibility. But also I think as a team leader, or it is important to show people the way, because we are every day facing impossible challenges, yeah. Even I, if I see what we should do, I think, how should this work, yeah. But it's always step back, think a little bit different and then find the solution. I just remember yesterday, 2 days ago, I got a call from an international foundation we are working with. They want to have a museum of 5,000 square meters finished in September, design and realization, high-level showcases. And also, of course, you can say it is not possible, definitely, yeah. But you also can tell them what is possible, yeah, and show a way to do it. And I think this is something which is also my role in our office, yeah, that somehow to go a step back, look at everything and really see, are we on the right track? Are there completely different ways to do things and make these things possible? Yeah.
What has changed and what has stayed the same over all of the years, over the past 27 years? Are you finding that clients are coming to you and are really very different now than they were years ago? Or are the dynamics pretty much so the same?
They are younger. No, but I think it did not change so much, I would say, because clients, they do museums or projects like that mostly only once a time in their life. Yeah. And this is their project and they have been preparing this for 10 years. And now it's the moment when the designer comes on board and they are excited and they are do it only once and they are not professionals in doing that. Yeah. So I think this didn't change since I'm working in this business. So we are in very different situations. We are the professionals and we do it every day. Yeah. So the excitement is different. And we need to guide these clients throughout the processes. And these clients are individual persons. Yeah. And I think we really need to understand what are the positions of these people, what do they want, what is important for them as an institution, but also as an individual, also a team member, or director, or whatever on a client side. And I would say that did not change so much throughout time.
People are people.
One of my questions to you is, as you've grown and matured, in this business, do you ever say no to a client, or what are some of the things that you wish you could tell your 20 plus year old self that you do now that you didn't used to do?
We are not good in saying no. Also, I am also facing sometimes the situation where I think I would really like to step out of this process. But I also can say, when we overcome this and the result is at the end good, I'm glad that I did not step out. Yeah. So I don't try to do this. I try to really go through and finish the job with the best what we can contribute as company to the project, because I think in every project we are facing the moments where it's not so easy. And the question is, when is getting so hard that you want to step out? Is this, and when not? Yeah. And everybody has a different level there. And so sometimes it's also simple, because the contracts, usually we as designers, we are not in a position to step out. Only the client can do this. So it's very clear. We should not think so much about stepping out. Think about getting through and doing the best, I think.
There's no way out. You're locked in. What do you, as you've grown the company, have you had any more free time?
No. I'm not a person who has free time. If I have free time, I have a new project. So I'm somehow always active and looking for possibilities and somehow to bring myself and the company forward. So it is even not a target for me to have free time. I invest time for what I think is important. And this is the freedom I have, I would say. And this is, I would like to get this more.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's great.
It is great. It begs the question, what are you currently passionate about?
I would say there are two answers, Jan. I'm really, professionally, looking forward to a transforming experience, somehow to provoke curiosity and inspire visitors. I really want to somehow be engaged in what I do. Yeah, this is important. And it's always also interesting to see after 27 years, where does exhibition design go? Yeah, what is the future? What are new formats? And I would say I'm looking to a transformation to bring my team in a position somehow to transform the company to a company which in the next 10 years can even proceed. And we are in a process and changing structures and doing that. And it's really inspiring to see how this works and how to have a team after 27 years who somehow where we can throw around ideas, where we can challenge each other and create something remarkable together. And somehow it's a joy. And that really these ideas always take shape and come to life. And this is what I'm passionate about.
AI, before we run out of time, how is your company integrating AI into the process of the designs or even the ideation right now?
Every day, daily, in daily work. Also we are using it for creating moods, I would say, yeah, visually creating moods, preparatory work on renderings, then also storyboards. So mainly technical work, which where a lot of diligence is in, but can just be done and then adapted by the designers itself. So it's we use it really every day, everywhere.
Is anybody in your company aware or feeling the effects that AI will potentially have on the 130 people, not on all 130 people, but there is AI helps you push the ball further and you don't need quite as large teams and you'll have to remain competitive and efficient. So, you know, what are you thinking or talking about in terms of people?
I think we have two people only working on our AI. We created, for example, an own AI who can draw objects. We have often 15,000 objects which need to be digitalized 3D to put it in showcases. So we do these things. We somehow try to put all our information in our AI system that we can find the references of showcases. Or if somebody asks me, where did we have the showcase detail XY? I don't know. It's so many. Yeah, and we try to set up something where the AI really serves our needs. Yeah, and I don't think that we will have less people. We have just people doing different things. Yeah, we are people taking care about this AI things why at the moment they are rendering or waiting all night that the render is done somewhere, yeah, things like that. So the stupid work is going away or is getting reduced, yeah. But the creative work, we still need people. And I don't believe that there will be less people in office. It's just different directions and different setups, yeah.
This has been a fantastic chat, Shireen. Thank you for sharing with us all your perspective, experiences. And yeah, we could go on and on.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to contribute to this podcast and also a pleasure to meet you both. Thank you.
Likewise.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone who tuned in today. Please subscribe for more episodes of Matters of Experience. Make sure to leave a rating and a review and share with a friend. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, everyone.
Matters of Experience is produced by Lorem Ipsum Corp. and recorded at Hanger Studios. Tune in next time for more fun discussions about experience design.